Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel," Moses says, "the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, I've asked the first two messages on this theme, why we should love God. I mean, it's the thing we should do clearly in the Bible. If you're familiar at all with the teaching of the Bible, it's the thing to do. Jesus says it's the first and it's the greatest commandment. It's absolutely essential to any relationship with God. If you don't love God, you don't have a relationship with Him. And we saw last time that He is the only God to love. And He is a personal God. He's a God of relationship. He loves to be in relationship. And He's a God who has relationship within Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He Himself is worthy of love. He is lovable. He's admirable. He's excellent. The more you know God, the more you see, if your eyes are open and your heart is clear, that God is lovely. That if there is anyone who is worthy of love, it's God. And of course He loves us. We love Him because He first loved us. So there are many reasons to love God. Going to move on in the theme now and ask tonight, what is love? What is it? This moment shows you how pop lyrics stick in your head. I'm remembering a pop lyric, I can't remember who sang it now, from my teenage years. What is love? What is love? What is love anyway? Does anyone love anyone else? You can tell me afterwards you remember that one. What is love? What is love? Maybe, as Robert Burns says, it's better felt than telt. But let's try and understand what it is. Do you remember, and they're still on the go too, do you remember those cartoons by Kim? Lovers. And you'd have the caption at the beginning, "Love is," and then every week or every day, depending on the paper you're buying, if that cartoon was in it, there'd be a new caption as to what love was. And a little picture of the man and the woman, usually in some lovey-dovey pose together. And sometimes it was slushy, sometimes it was quite practical, sometimes it was even profound. Love is, here's some examples. Love is wanting to give her the moon and the stars. So we'll start with a slushy. Love is losing track of time when you're together. Love is when you can't stay mad at each other for long. But there's some of them that you could apply, not just between a man and a woman, but to yourself and God. Here's another three or four from Kim. Love is when thinking of Him keeps you going. Love is when your search is over. Love is two hearts traveling the same path. Love is seeing Him in everything. You can certainly apply that to God. What does the Bible teach love is? That's love according to Kim. What about love according to God Himself? What did He make us to be when He made us to love? What is this love for God that's commanded in verse 5? Something that we certainly need to know. about and understand. What is it? Well, I'm going to point to one word in verse 5. One word as the answer. I wonder if you can think what word it is in verse 5. One word that probably gives us the answer to what love is. And it's the word all. All. Love is when your all is God's. When your all is God's. All your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all you are, all you have, all the time is God's. That's love. When you are God's, when all that you are and have are God's all of the time. When nothing and nobody has a prior call on you before God. Love then is its dedication, its devotion, its consecration. It's something that can be described with terms like an undivided heart, a single heart, as they used to say, a devoted heart. Love is when your all is God's. Now let me just warn you away from two possible misinterpretations of that, which pop up in world religions. One is, you're not to understand that as meaning that we're robots. God did not create man to be robotic. He didn't make you to just function to do what he wants without having any kind of personality. Love is not God being so in control of your life that you haven't got any choice or will in the matter. That's what you would call depersonalization. That's losing your personality. That's losing your will. That's losing your choice, losing your freedom. Love is not like that. When we say your all belongs to God, it's because you choose that. It's because you want that. It's because out of your heart flows that choice freely and willingly, because that's the person you are. You've not lost yourself or submitted yourself to be a puppet of a God who operates you, overriding your will. That's not what we're talking about. On the other hand, it doesn't either mean that you've lost your ego in the sense that Eastern religions describe, what they call nirvana. Nirvana in Eastern religions, certainly one interpretation is that it's a kind of wonderful state where you've lost your ego, where you've lost your will. You've given your selfhood up and you've kind of been absorbed into God. So you don't really exist independently anymore. You're just enjoying the bliss of God. But then again, you've lost yourself. You've lost your personhood. You've lost your will. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about you actually functioning with a heart, with a soul, with strength, with mind. Remember, that's the word Jesus adds to this commandment in the Gospels. With a will. When they're working as God made them to work. When you're actually, far from losing yourself, you're finding yourself. You're coming into the fullness of your powers. You're working as God made you to work. See, God made us in his own image. And when our image is spoiled by sin, when our will is contrary to God's, and when we're out of harmony with God, nothing really functions right about us. there's all kinds of stress, there's all kinds of alienation, all kinds of inner tension. But when our image is restored to the one that God made it to be, to His image, when it's restored in innocence, so that we really do look like the God who created us in the way that we use our strength and our mind and our soul and our heart, then we're in perfect harmony with Him. If our heart and our soul and our mind are free from sinful desires and sinful aversions, and if we only love what's good and we only hate what's evil, we will be in total harmony with God like Jesus was. Everything working well, all for God. That is love. All I am, working with all that God is in perfect harmony. All my heart, soul, mind and strength. That's what God made us to do. And that's when we come into the fullness of what we are. The more that we lose sight of that, the more that people go down the road of sin, become addicted, and become alienated and isolated, the more they lose their personality, their individuality. Sin makes you less human. Sin makes you a shadow. Takes away from you, it robs you. But if we're living the way that God made us to, then everything is just functioning beautifully. Everything works. We live without tension, without anxiety. We live without fear. We live with everything flowing in harmony. Each part of us working together with God. As the hymn says, Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and have and ever hope to be. That's love. When all I am and have and ever hope to be is His, working in harmony. So there's one answer from this passage. What is love? Love is giving your all. The second answer, though, is perhaps more obvious from the passage. It's love is keeping God's commandments. You may actually say, reading through this passage, that isn't love all about keeping commandments? Isn't it all about keeping laws? Because the whole context, that's why I had quite a long reading, is of the Ten Commandments, is of laws. You start at the end of chapter 5, verse 32, for example, 5:32, be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Don't turn to the right or the left. Walk in the way the Lord your God has commanded you. And in chapter 6, these are the commands, decrees and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe. And Moses goes on to say, you'll live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you. Be careful, verse 3 of chapter 6, to obey so that it may go well with you. And then verse 5, love the Lord your God. So it's a context of commandments. So it's very easy to make a mistake here, and I think a lot of people do this, that they think that as long as they're pretty good at keeping the commandments, that means they love God. The Israelites often thought that. For example, in verse 27 of chapter 5, they say, we will listen and we will obey. They say, we'll listen and we will obey. And so they're making a determined commitment to keep God's commandments, the Ten Commandments particularly. But God in verse 29 says, oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me. God knows that they're keeping the commands, or they're intending to keep the commands, but their hearts are not right. And you find them a couple of chapters on here, making a golden calf and worshipping it, and their hearts are nowhere to be seen in terms of loving God. Their all did not belong to Yahweh, to the living God. They tried to keep the commands, but their hearts didn't belong to God. Their all didn't belong to God. So keeping commandments on its own doesn't necessarily mean that you love God. And in the New Testament, remember the rich young man, he comes to Jesus and says, "Here I am, what must I do?" And Jesus outlines the commandments and he says, "I've kept them all." Notice the word "all" there. All, I've kept them all. And then Jesus says, "Sell all." And there's the word "all" again. Sell all. But he can't sell all. Why? Because his all doesn't belong to Jesus. If love is giving your all, his all is certainly not Jesus. It doesn't belong to Jesus. He's holding it back. So he says, "I keep all the commands, but my all does not belong to you, Jesus." So he might keep commandments, he might be an upright and good and respectable man, but he doesn't love God. He doesn't love Jesus. So keeping commandments doesn't necessarily mean that you do love God. So if I'm saying that love is keeping God's commandments, I want you to make sure that you don't make the mistake that if you think that as long as you try and keep the commandments, that means you do love God. Commandment keeping doesn't necessarily indicate that you do love God. You can get your behavior right, but not love God. You can have a very moral life, but love can be absent from the soil of your life. You can have good behavior, you can be dutiful, you can be religious, but not love God. You try to do what's right, but that doesn't mean you love God. You might try to do what's right because you're afraid of God, or you're afraid of the consequences, or because it feels good, or because that's what's expected of you, or because that's what you're brought up, and you've got the voice of your mum or your dad in your ear all the time. Doesn't mean that you love God. In fact, you know that you can obey someone and keep the commandments of someone you hate, or are at very best indifferent to. God might be someone you obey because you guard him like a drill sergeant. You hate the drill sergeant, but you better do what he says or you'll be in trouble. You can keep the commandments, but hate the one who gives them. So the commandments in themselves are not a way in themselves to an intimate relationship with God, to a loving relationship with God. If you try to approach God just by coming to him and saying, "Look, I'm keeping your commandments," it won't work. It's not what a true follower of Jesus does. It's what you call moralism. You don't try to come to God and say, "Look how good I am. Look what I'm doing. Look at how well I keep the commandments. Look at how much better I keep the commandments than many of those people who call themselves Christians." That's not the way to an intimate relationship with God. See, there's an order. Jesus said, this is in John 14, verse 15, he said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." In John 14, 23, he said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." Now, see, there's an order there. What happens first? Love. Love comes first. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Jesus does not say, "I want you to keep my commands and then you'll begin to love me." He doesn't say, "I want you to be all moral and I want you to be good and I want you to tick all the boxes and then love will sort of appear out of that." No, he says, first and foremost, love me. And then you'll keep my commands. God wants us to get this order right. He doesn't want people who think they're Christians because they're moral. He would much, well, I'm not even going to say he would rather, because he just doesn't want us to try and approach him by coming to him and saying, look at what I'm doing for you. He wants us to come to him in love. And even if we come to him in love and there's still a lot that's not right in our lives, he delights because he sees the love in our hearts. And that love, in due time, will sort things out. In due time, that love will get things more and more accurate and right in the way we live. Jesus and God want our right living to come out of loving hearts. So, verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6. These commandments that I give to you today, where are they to be? They're to be on your hearts. They come out of the heart that is all God's. Love with all your heart. Out of that love comes keeping the commandments. Just like Jesus himself. And maybe next, well, it won't be next week, but the week after probably, we'll come to this. John 14, verse 31. Jesus says, I love the Father. He says, I love the Father. And I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. So what does Jesus say? I love him. And then I therefore do what he's commanded me to do. When we love God, we will keep his commands. And they won't be burdens to us. And we won't be all self-righteous and feeling all good and trying to impress God, because that just won't be the way we approach him. We love him. Because we love him, we keep his commands. The love comes first. That's what we must seek first. When people become Christians, they often make this mistake. They think, right, I've become a Christian now, I've got to start being good. And I've got to keep all the commands. And the commands may be some of the taboos in the church, and they may be some of the things that Christians are not expected to do in the free church or whatever church they're in. And so they try and sort their lives out and make sure that no one can find any fault with them. Well, that's not love. When you become a Christian, concentrate on loving God, and everything else will come into place in due course. Love comes before the commandments. Love keeps the commandments, but love's the thing that comes first, and it's the thing we must seek first. And when we have love in our lives, even though our lives may still be getting themselves sorted out, and even though we may be very young in the faith and full of all kinds of confusions and contradictions, yet because we love God, because we love him, things will work out, things will come straight and good. And God will use people who love him, even though they may be crazy. And I've seen this. I think of some of the people in this community I've seen becoming Christians, and it's often in their early days when they don't know one end of the commandments from the other end, but they love God. And God uses them. God honors that love because that's what he's really looking for. And then often they grow cold because they start concentrating on I better do this and I better not do that. And they lose love for God. See, if you love God, everything just flows from that. If your all belongs to God, then as you hear God saying, I want you to walk this way, and I want you to do that, and I want you to speak to that person, I want you to pray for that, I want you to give some money to that person, and so on. As you love God in that way, and you hear his voice, and you read his word day by day, and listen to what it says to your life and how you're living, just out of that love flows a continual willingness to be God's, to obey him. You give your all to him. And when that happens, you'll know God's presence and God's friendship in your life. John 14 again, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. And then what happens then? Next verse, he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. When you love God, you keep his commands, and the Spirit of God will come into your life, says Jesus. Continuing verse 23, if anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. What will happen next? My Father will love him, and we will come, Jesus and the Father will come, and make our home with him. That's wonderful. So in these two verses, Jesus says, first of all, the Spirit will come, and then the Father, and he will come into the lives of his people if they love him. He promises his presence if we love him. Now, maybe you're here today and you think Christianity is a bit of a slog. And the reason why that may be is because you may be trying to be a Christian without loving God. You might be trying to be a Christian without loving God. Because what you're trying to do is be good. You're trying to keep commandments. But love for God must come first. When you've got love, a relationship is not a slog. But it can be a horrible slog if you're just trying to do what you think the other person wants. If you don't love them, that's hard work. And maybe that you feel it's pretty tough to try and be a Christian. Well, it wouldn't be if you had love. That's what you need. Love for God. Maybe you're trying to keep God's commands tonight, but you've never made the decision to give him your all. To give him your all. Just to say, Lord, here I am. Everything. What I am. My heart, soul, mind and strength. The possessions you've given me. My time. I give it to you. It's yours. I give you my all. And out of that love, everything else will flow. But if it's not there, be you ever so good at keeping the commandments, God will know that the love is absent. And you won't fool him, so don't try to fool yourself. Tonight God is calling me and he's calling you to give him your all. For us to give him all that we are. Not to hold anything back. He gave it all to us in the first place, so let's give it back. He loves us first and gives us all that we have. So let's give all that we have back to him. In love too. Let love come first. And then an obedient life will follow. Step by step. But love is first. Love. And then we'll find the commandments coming out of our heart. Verses 5 and verse 6 in Deuteronomy 6. Love first. Give him your all first. And then everything else will follow. So what is love? Well, it is keeping the commandments, but love comes before the keeping of the commandments. You need love. First, don't try and keep the commandments without it. But love truly is, in verse 5, it's giving your all to God. Give him your all tonight. Just tell him that tonight. Get down on your knees tonight. Just say, Lord, here I am. And go through your all and just give it to him. Give everything to him. Seek his help. Seek his power. Seek his presence. Seek his spirit. And love may come first. And everything follow.